Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Hey youth, how are we going? That's good, that's good. So today I would like to have a message for you guys. And it's about staying in the moment in the presence of God. God's presence is always with us, but sometimes we get distracted and things get in the way. In the middle of your busy lives, it's easy to zone out in moments that we often should spend with God. So today my message is going to be called Stay in the Zone. So what do I mean by being in the zone? Being in the zone means to be fully absorbed in what you're doing. Being focused and performing at your best. I want to encourage you on how you can stay focused on God. There are two types of distractions we'll be talking about today, outer and inner distractions. So the first one I wanted to talk to you about was outward distractions. These are the things that can make it hard for us to be focused on God. One thing that really stops people from focusing on God is technology. I know I find it really hard to put down my phone and stay in the moment with God. Our busy schedules can also make it really hard for us to take time out of day to spend with God. Colossians 3:2 says, "Think about the things of heaven, not of the things of this earth. For you have died in this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ our God." This verse highlights the fact that our focus should be on Christ, not on the things of this world. When we actually stop and think about it, what is more important than our relationship with God? Now I'd like to quickly talk about inner distractions. Sometimes when we're in a time of worship or prayer, we can be overcome by thoughts that can distract us from experiencing God's presence. I know many of us here can overthink things and become mentally busy, making it hard to hear God's voice. In times of worship or prayer, it's also easy to become distracted by unnecessary thoughts. Our minds rush to our worries or random things that can pull us away from God's presence. These thoughts may seem harmless, but they often create a mental barrier between God that makes it hard to hear his voice. The scripture that gives us insight on this is 2 Corinthians 10:5, and this says, "We destroy every proud obstacle and keep it from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." I want to highlight the second part of this verse, which says, "Capture these thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." Through prayer and reading the word, we can hold our thoughts captive and train them to obey Christ. I would like to quickly share a testimony that I had at the rally. So on the first morning of the rally, I was finding it really hard to fully engage in worship. I prayed about it near the end of worship, and then that night, I just felt a sense of peace and a clear mind, which helped me to be open for God to speak. For this term, our topic has been "There is more." I think being in the moment in the presence of God is an important basis of God to work in you more. If we spend more time with listening to God, we will be able to experience more of God's presence. The more present we are with him, the more room we give him to speak and move within us. So tonight I would just like to leave you with three practical tips for staying in the presence of God. The first tip I want to share with you is to intentionally make time for God. Not just squeezing it into your day and rushing through it. Instead, scheduling an uninterrupted period of time with God. The second tip is to lock away your phone. Put it in a different room or get someone else to hide it. I know this is something that really helps me become less distracted. My final tip is to pray. Pray to God about what's been distracting you or pray for peace for your mind. If you remember one thing from this message today, I want it to be stay in the zone in the presence of God and you will be blessed. Thank you. Now I'll hand back to the worship team.
Can we please get a hand for the wonderful worship team? Great job. Great job, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lacey, and I am our first speaker for tonight's takeover night. So tonight I'd like to turn our focus towards our 2025 theme, There is More. For those who've forgotten or are new, this comes from Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. So you can turn your Bibles to there. So I really love that phrase, "there is more," and I feel like it's very applicable in our world today and certainly to me. This year, I feel like God's been showing me that there's more to Him and more to life and more to who I am in His image than I ever comprehended. A few weeks ago, I went on a trip to Kenya with my dad and the Edmund Rice Foundation, and we visited heaps of projects, but my favourite was visiting this school for disabled children. We spent a lot of time there with some incredible people who really inspired me and showed what this concept, "there is more," is all about. This is where I feel like my eyes were truly opened, where I saw the patience that these staff and volunteers were showing to these disabled children, the love that these people had for the underprivileged kids living in the middle of the slum, how much joy they brought to their lives was really special to experience. On the trip, we met a woman named Joy, which was honestly the perfect name for her. She had this quiet, unshakable happiness that didn't come from what she owned or what people thought of her, because really she didn't have a whole lot. But I realised that this happiness didn't come from the people around her or the external factors, but it came from Jesus. It came from knowing Jesus. When I watched the children play with some of the bubbles that we brought over, something so simple and something I have definitely taken for granted, I realised how simple God's love is. God's not asking me to chase perfection. Perfection in school, perfection in work, perfection in life. He's asking me to see Him in the small and the simple things and let His love change me from the inside. Paul prayed that we'd be strengthened through our inner being. For me, that's meant letting God deal with what's happening inside, not just what people see. This year, I've had moments where people around me have made me question myself. Little comments, side looks, whispers about what I wore and who I was friends with. And I have to admit, and for anyone here, it hurts. But when I was in Kenya, nobody cared what brand my shoes were or if my hair looked good. They cared about kindness and connection. And I think that's what Paul meant when he said, "let God fill our inner being." Those outside things will stop being what define us. Our worth isn't in approval or appearance, but rather in Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says that every family in heaven and on earth is named in Him. That means that I don't need anyone else to name me, not popular, not social media, not even my own self-doubt. Because Jesus already has. He has called me beloved, chosen, and enough. When I came home from my trip, I realized that more isn't about having to prove myself or making more money to have more worldly possessions or even more confidence. It's about having more of God and letting that overflow into how I see people, how I forgive, and how I love. So tonight, my prayer for us is like Paul's, that we would all be rooted and established in love, and that God would keep showing us there's more. More grace when we mess up, more strength when we feel small, and more love than we could ever understand. Because once you've seen His love in places like Kenya, in the faces of people that have so little but are so full, and even in the middle of hurt, you can't help but be changed from the inside out. I never would have expected that it took me flying halfway across the world to realize that the opinion of others is not Jesus' opinion of me, and I am whole and perfect in His sight, as are you. And God has proven this to me through relationships that I have built this year. I truly believe that when God slams the door, he opens a window. And tonight, I hope you all see that. So, if there's one thing you take away, I hope that it is that you're not defined by the things around you, but you are defined in the heavenly image of Jesus Christ. You are created perfectly in his way. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to gather here tonight and praise you. Help our eyes to be opened to see you in new ways and trust you that your plans are bigger than what we can see. Fill our hearts with your love so it overflows into how we treat and look at others. Teach us to walk confidently in who you've made us to be and to keep seeking the more you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, guys. How are we? That's good. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to open in prayer. So just bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be up here, and I just pray that the words I speak will be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. So for tonight, I wanted to talk a bit about the what can I get out of it mentality when it comes to our walk with God. Our culture today is very self-focused and self-centered, which is the opposite of what Jesus teaches us in the Bible. So in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." To dive deeper into this verse, I wanted to talk about what this mentality looked like for me. Recently, I had been feeling in a very dry place with my faith. I was going along to youth, I was going along to church and reading my Bible, listening to worship music, and doing all the things that, you know, you would regularly try to do. And I was doing all of this because I wanted to feel and seek the presence of God. So first, we should ask ourselves, what really is the presence of God? I have often associated him with some kind of overwhelming feeling, like a shiver or a rush of emotion. And of course, these are all things God can use to physically speak to us. But the problem was I'd become dependent on this feeling. Every time I hadn't felt something, I would assume that God wasn't there or that he wasn't listening to me. I would get wrapped up in trying to get something out of God and for my own benefit, like a miracle or a healing, to just get some kind of proof that God cared or even existed. However, over the holidays, I attended the Rally Conference. On the first Thursday night, Aaron DiPlacido preached a message about desperation for God and what that looked like. He touched on holy desperation looking like not coming to God with an agenda and how holy desperation worships before the miracle. Often, it is easy for us to expect things from God. And in the Bible, it tells us that we can expect things from God and to come with him with an expectant heart. As in Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." But how often do we expect things from God when we come with selfish ambition and a selfish heart? The beginning of each of those lines states, "Ask, seek, and knock." This is not about God agreeing to meet our desires, but allowing our desires to meet his. So many times we ask God, "Show me a miracle," or "Heal me," or "Why aren't you there?" But in those times, are we really doing it to honor him and to glorify him? Glorifying God is the whole reason we as Christians follow him, not because we want something out of it. As people today, we see everything as take and not give, which is the opposite of what Jesus did on the cross. He led a life that is the example of faith. A Bible passage that demonstrates this is in Matthew 4, verse 5 to 11, after Jesus is baptized and led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. It says this, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Yes. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. This passage shows us how God, how Satan can twist and distort God's perfect character and nature. He tries to tell us, if your God is so good, why won't he do this one thing for you? Why can't he just give you this one thing? As we all know, Satan has never given anybody anything good. God is the provider of all that is good, and he knows the right plan at the right time. Faith is about trust, which includes trusting God as our provider. Another verse in Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, you shall receive with faith." I would read this verse and I would wonder why God hadn't delivered what I had asked for. Some miracle I was praying for, but the truth is, God doesn't need to prove himself to anybody. He is almighty and all-knowing. Through reading his word, pursuing him, and understanding his character, we can gain all of the proof we will ever need when the devil tries to tell us, God, if God really loved you, he would show you a miracle. You can throw scriptures at him just as Jesus did. Which brings me to my next point. God knows what you need when you need it. He does not work in our time and for our desires, because if he did, he would not have our best interests at heart. He is all-knowing, as I said before, and understands what is good for us way better than we could ever understand ourselves. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Isaiah 55, verse 9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Every single one of these verses from the holy living word of God show the full understanding that God has. We will never be able to fully grasp that understanding. We only see the small picture of a huge story, and it's through faith that we can trust that the God who sent his son to suffer and die in the most humiliating and painful way on that cross has a perfect plan for us. He recognizes what you need, when you need it, and if you need it. He will deliver if it is within his right plan for you. Going back to what Aaron had said during the rally, is one thing that is always guaranteed is when we exalt God, he will be lifted higher. Meaning, we should not be expecting to receive for our own glory, but for his, that he would be lifted higher in our eyes and in how we live. As followers of Christ, we already receive the greatest gift, which is the opportunity to spend eternal life with him. Not for the glorification of ourselves through the opportunities and relationships or the gifts and talents or the shivers down our backs that he can provide, but purely because we love him and want to lift him higher. We don't need to doubt because we know that God is always with us, purely because scripture tells us so. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10 says, "Where shall I go from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make bed in Sheol, you are there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." I just read from another verse. That was Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Good things will always come from God when you have good intentions and pure intentions of glorifying his name. So our focus must not be on ourselves, but on God. So how? So for me, I'm a huge fan of sleep. I don't know if anyone else is, but but I will sometimes sleep until 12:30 in the afternoon when I can. if anyone can beat me on that, that's great. Yeah, but for me, because sleep is such a huge priority, I like to wake up 15 minutes earlier than the time I must, which is just such a small thing, but it's sacrificing those 15 minutes to God so that he can move in whatever way he wants to. So I like to do 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of prayer, and then 5 minutes of listening to worship music. Like I said before, it's not a strict routine that you must follow, but it's just giving those 15 minutes to God so that he can move. Just know you are not alone in feeling distant from God, and I'm learning alongside you too. These are all things I remind myself of all the time. Don't live in your mistakes and your old habits. Instead, move past them with God. That's what God sees, not what you've done, but what you do moving forward. Jesus died for the sins that we've committed and will commit. And it's not about what you, it's what you do moving forward that pleases him. Thank you very much for listening. Jess.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Michaela. As Michaela mentioned, I'm Jess, and tonight I'm going to be sharing on putting God first and what that has looked like for me this year. So for a little bit of context, this year I've been putting God first in my day-to-day life, and it's been something God has been putting on my heart a lot. I had felt late last year that God was not the number one thing in my life, and I'd become pretty good at finding reasons not to spend time in prayer and reading my Bible. So when I did find the time to spend time in prayer, God started to highlight to me some of the areas in my faith I was lacking. This is around the time youth camp came around, and on camp, God made himself so present in my life, I couldn't keep ignoring what he was telling me. On camp, God changed my perspective on my faith, on why I live for him, and he reminded me that his love for me sent his one and only son to the cross to take the punishment that I should have had. So with that in mind, I decided to start focusing on what I now saw as the most important thing and what really mattered, which was putting God first. So how can we put God first? I found that it was the small daily habits that grew my faith the most. For me, this looked like starting a full year Bible reading plan. This got me into the habit of getting up an hour earlier to spend time with God in the morning, and this is how I made the time for God rather than waiting until I had time. And something I pretty quickly learned from this is that the Bible is one of the ways God speaks to us. It's also how we learn to live in the way he wants us to, making it all the more important we read and get to know. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Another way that has made a big difference in the way I live is prayers of thanks. Most nights before I go to bed, I thank God for everything I can think of that day. My family, friends, that my parents came home safely from work, that I got through that test, the list goes on. And through doing this, God has humbled me so much. And David definitely knew this because there's an incredible amount of Psalms that tell us to give thanks to God. For example, Psalm 107 verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." My final point on what putting God first this year has looked like for me is prioritizing coming to church and youth, which you've all done a pretty good job of tonight. Hanging out with Christian people and hanging in a place that grows your faith and makes a bigger difference than you think. It grows your faith and strengthens you to go and boldly live it out. Psalm 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." Hebrews 10:25 also tells us, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Making the decision every day to do these things has not only grown my faith, but also opened doors in my life that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise if I hadn't intentionally made the space for God. For example, I was recently able to share God's love with a friend I'd been praying for a while now. They hadn't heard it before, and this was an incredible opportunity that I wouldn't have had unless I'd given God the space to tell me so. Another door God opened for me this year was joining the kids' church team on Fridays and Sundays. Getting to see and lead the kids to grow in God's love is something I have absolutely loved this year, and I wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't learned to put God first in what I was doing. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So to finish, I want to leave you with two things. The first being, are your priorities right? Are the small daily decisions you're making placing God as number one? The second thing, feeding into our theme of there is more, being that I've found often putting God first is the first step to him doing more in and through you. Thank you. And I think James is coming up.
How great was all of that? Can we get a hand for everyone tonight? So, I have a bit on my plate today. I hope you can all stick with me for this one. So today we're going to be talking about don't do faith alone, right? So I want to talk about our journey with God. Because oftentimes, I remember, I went to the rally recently as well. We feel a spiritual high when we go to a lot of these kind of events, right? But why is it that after a few days, when we go back to our normal lives, go back to SACs, go back to exams, we feel like we lost that kind of, I don't know, that connection, right? How do we stay in that kind of spiritual high, I guess? For me, I find that minimizing my distractions really, it can help me find more time with God, whether it be putting my phone away, praying to God, talking to Him, and asking what I can change, right? And asking Him for discernment in everything that we do. The other thing is we will face trials and tribulations about when being a Christian, and it's not easy. And in the rally, I remember on the first night, they did talk about how it can look foolish. Being a Christian can look foolish. I know in chapel at Oxley usually, there are not many people who actually worship or sing. And sometimes it may be really, really confronting for you to actually step out, have your hands up, and actually open up to God. Because in a world where there is like people who are really, I guess, ashamed or like really scared to really step out, you need to be that light so then others around you can see what there isn't within you, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, verse 18, verse 17 to 18, it says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." And we, in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Is good, pleasing, and perfect will." Because how foolish would it be to give up our relationship with God over something that, like, over what we are scared about, like what other people might think? How foolish would that be? Which brings me to my next point, doing faith alone versus being first lonely, right? We need to find people in our life to hold us accountable, which means we need to be smart on our decision on who we spend our time with, who's in our social circle. I found that's been a struggle for me in the recent years because I've put myself in like circles where I know they're not healthy for me. Maybe people who are dragging me away from God, people who cuss a lot, people who, I don't know, they just don't lift you up. And I feel like when we allow that to happen, what we allow ourselves to be in is what we become. It reflects what, like, how we're like. So, and often when we are in those circles and you're the only one who may be Christian, sometimes it may be really, really easy to give in and try to please others, I guess. And that really ties into my next point of satisfaction in the world, which is what do we get our satisfaction from, right? We need to really base our values upon what God calls us to be, not what other people says we are. I guess in like the world right now, everyone's finding the satisfaction through things like technology, parties, drinking, hanging out with friends. Not that those things are, I guess, evil, but that what are we allowing to be what satisfies our spirit, right? Because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, it reads, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." So we really need to know, are we falling into the trap of loving things of the world, conforming to the things that are worldly, or are we putting our satisfaction in Jesus Christ? So we really need to be able to replace those kind of things. It can even be like the music we listen to. I know me personally, I used to struggle with listening to a lot of secular music, a lot of rap, a lot of those things. But oftentimes when we listen to that kind of music, we don't realize what effect it's having on us in how we act. Sometimes it feels cool, like in the moment, like the beats, everything, it feels like it sounds good for a reason. Like things that are appealing to us in the moment, they can be really damaging to us over time. And I think even just making that small switch, what are you listening to? I've recently found some Christian rappers that they make similar music, but the messages that they carry out, you won't be ashamed of listening to them. Because after you listen to the music, like the secular music, it feels good in the moment, but afterwards you look back at the lyrics and like, that's not someone that I want to be. That's not, that doesn't align with who I am, right? So we really need to take a step back and see where our heart is, like what are our intentions? Because it may feel good in the moment, but it's gonna be damaging in the end. So the main message is don't walk alone, walk it with God. I'm gonna give a little bit of a testimony. For me in my life, I really hate social gatherings. Hate them. And therefore, anyone else in here? Yeah, a couple of you. And therefore, parties and gatherings are too much for me, which I found I tried to close myself off from a lot of people. In the 2020-2021 period, when we were all in lockdown, I had a lot of issues with friendship groups, and one of my childhood friends passed away from cancer. During that time, I tried to do a lot of things on my own because we weren't able to go out see friends as much. But I just remember myself trying to tackle everything on my own, and I fell into a state of depression. And when I was about 13 or 14, I tried to take my own life. I completely closed God from my life. I continued to go to church, but every time it felt like a drag. I would constantly close myself from everyone, including my parents, and it just didn't feel good because I wasn't walking with God. I was walking by myself, right? And then last year in Encounter Night, I came for the first time. I don't usually go to Encounter Nights, but I went. And I remember it was the night before Easter Friday. It was on Easter Friday, sorry. And I remember I was sitting at the back over there, and I felt really empty. And I prayed, and I asked God, is there something that you want to tell me right now? And I asked him to tell it to me. And after I prayed, I flipped open the Bible, and I put my finger on a random verse. And that verse led me to my favorite verse now, which is Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, which reads, "They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them." God has never left our side, but why is it that we choose to put him away to the side? And we only go to him when we feel like we need him, right? That verse really stuck with me because no matter what I did, how I felt, God never left me. It was me who strayed away, which I feel like oftentimes in our life, even as Christians, we can feel, yes, there is a God who loves me, but do we really feel that when we're walking in our day-to-day lives? We may be so busy with the things that we don't actually be like, oh, wait, God is really by my side. And through all these struggles, all these things that may be happening in our lives, there is someone who loves and cares for me, right? So in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Can we get the keyboard up, please? So what makes you feel the most connected with God, right? Could be worship, could be Bible study. For me, I like going on walks and listening to worship music. You find something that helps you connect with God in your journey, right? because we are all on a faith journey, and we want to make this journey as uplifting as possible. So choose wisely who you walk with, and get back up when you stumble, and know that God is forever by your side. Let's pray. Dear God, please open up our hearts and apply all the messages that we've heard tonight. And may we be with us as we continue to walk with you throughout our journeys. Help us know that you are always by our side and that we can find refuge in you. Continue to be with us as we go about our day to day and in our struggles, in our downtimes. May you please be with us, dear Lord. Continue to help us to be a vessel for others in our communities, be able to stand out and tell people about you, dear Lord. May you give us the wisdom and the to be able to tell our family, tell our friends, and be able to walk with you in all our days.